Rave Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of AV Insider, the only podcast in the world that is 3D printed first before we print it out to you guys in the world and test it so it's pure and ready to go. Today, I have Chris Lyons of Shure Incorporated, or Shure as I know them, and I'm very excited to have him because I've used a lot of their products growing up, and I'm sure a lot of you guys in the pro AV world use their microphones. And as always, I have a few sponsors I'd like to thank. First, if you're in the digital signage era and arena, you should check out Hypersign. They have a whole slew of digital signage solutions, and you can check them out at hypersign.com. Also, for just general integration and AV topics, Atlas Sound makes speakers, cables, racks, amplifiers, and all the mic stands and good stuff that we're using every day. You can check them out at atlassound.com. And as I mentioned, I have Chris Lyons, who is a senior manager for conferencing marketing communications. That is the longest title that I've ever read before, and I feel like I should put like Esquire at the end of that or something.
Yeah, I suppose it barely fits on the business card, so I guess I'm limited.
Well, Chris, thank you for being here today. I know you're a little bit ahead of us, and you are in Illinois. I am broadcasted from an undisclosed location in Northern California, probably one of the only places in the country that isn't freezing like the rest of you guys, so please don't be upset. It's very nice here today.
Yeah, I'll try not to be jealous, but it's freezing cold here today. So, you know, we're complaining, but it's just typical Chicago weather. So we have to deal with it.
Yeah, I was looking at weather temperatures all over, and I think everywhere is freezing other than California. But that's kind of a general. It should be raining here, and it's not. Anyway, as I mentioned, you are with Shure. And can you tell me a little bit about your role there at the company and then just maybe a little bit about Shure in general?
Sure. Well, let's see. I've been with Shure for 28 years now, believe it or not. It was my second job out of college. I'm currently working with our conferencing products, which are, for people who don't know, conferencing in the audio world refers to these specialized microphones that are used by government bodies and parliaments and so forth, where you have to push a button before you get permission to speak by the chairman, and maybe you're listening to a translator in an earphone and things like that. It's kind of specially built for a legislative application, but Shure has a line of those things now, so I'm working with those. But I started out working in marketing many years ago and then moved into technical support, which I really enjoyed. Did that for several years. And then got hooked up with our personal audio division when we were kind of just getting into the earphone and headphone business. Okay. And then after a few years of that, moved into public relations, and now I'm doing the conferencing thing. So I've sort of done almost everything except be in sales or engineering.
With the tech support, what's the most common question you get asked, if there's one?
Oh, boy. Yeah. You know, for a long time, the top question was, how do I connect an SM58 to my computer? That was number one for many years. I'm not sure if it still is. And then there's lots of the basics, like, you know, what's the difference between an SM58 and a Beta 58, or which mic is best for acoustic guitar and that sort of thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. When you get the question of how do I hook up an SM58 to my computer, do you just hang up the phone?
No, we try not to, you know, but we and I'm glad because we finally have a product that makes it easy to do that. You know, we have this little X2U XLR to USB adapter that lets you plug in any standard XLR microphone into a USB port on your computer. But it's easy now. It wasn't so easy back then.
I'm actually surprised. I didn't know that existed. I know I'm familiar with the USB to XLR, USB to XLR, but I didn't know you had the reverse for that. So,
yeah, it's one of the sleeper hidden secret products in our product line that is one of the most useful little things. And, you know, in typical Shure fashion, it's like the size of a cigar, but I mean, you could drive your car over it. It's super durable. And it, you know, has phantom power for condenser mics and the whole nine yards. It's really cool.
Speaking of driving your car over it, I think in one of the emails you sent me, there was a link at the bottom, and I didn't really get a chance to check it out. of a semi driving over one of your microphones. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, we've got a bunch of YouTube videos. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/SureInc. And we've got some videos there of a lot of different things, but we did a series of them called Sure Mike, where we had a tour bus drive over a 58. We dropped one out of a helicopter. We had the Chicago Wolves hockey team slap shot one into a goal, all kinds of fun stuff like that. And then, of course, then we pick up the mic and plug it in, and it still works. So we had a lot of fun making those.
I think that would be fun. I'm like, I don't know why you would do this, but it makes great video footage.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where people are always talking about how rugged those mics are. And we thought, let's have some fun with it and let's experiment with stuff and, see if we can just get a kick out of it. So we did a bunch of those and we've had a ball with it.
If you haven't already, you should hook up with the Will It Blend guy, who always like blends like the iPads and smartphones and all that silly stuff on
Yeah,
YouTube.
I've seen that. I would like to see what happens if you drop a Shure microphone into a blender and what happens. Do we win or does the blender get us?
I don't know. That might be a great little episode there. Does the
Yeah.
blender explode or what happens? So as far as the microphone realm, like I've had experience in the past with the SM58s, I believe they are. The 58s and the 48s have been the two popular mics that, like, for friends of mine that have been in bands and things like that, those have been the two microphones that they seem to prefer the most as I was growing up, and those always been like the two for handheld and like staging and things like that. What would you say are some of your more popular lines as they appeal to like musicians or because I know you have like different ones for drum kits and all that stuff and
Yeah, and that was one of the questions that a lot of people ask, especially when they start working here, is why the heck do we make so many different microphones? Because we've got more than 100 different models.
right.
Far and away, the SM58 vocal mic is the number one seller, and it has been for oh, probably over 30 or 40 years now. The SM57, which is sort of an instrument version of the 58, is number two. And then probably something like the, it might be something like the PG58, which is sort of like a slightly less expensive version of the SM58. That one is real popular too.
Okay, it's just a bit more affordable for someone who can't throw all the money down on SM58, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the things that is always tricky here is that we deal with people at every level of experience and sophistication and budget in the music world. And so, one minute you might be talking to somebody who's just starting out and looking for a microphone for playing down at, a corner tavern on Saturday night. And for them, spending $50 might be a big investment.
Right.
And then the next time the phone rings, you might be somebody talking to somebody who's on tour with Springsteen, and money is no object, and they're looking for something very sophisticated and very specific. So, you can't ignore the fact that, there are people who spend $1,000 on a microphone and people who are reluctant to even spend $100 on a microphone. But we try to cater to everybody.
True, and the same rules kind of apply, I think, in general to most technology slash audio. In the sense that you can buy something for very inexpensive and at the same time buy something very or much more expensive, but then we're talking about quality or better quality for the product and the application that it's applied to. So there really are multiple ranges of products, and I would assume that's why you guys have so many. Like when someone asks you why there's so many microphones, because
Right.
not everyone needs, that pro audio mic. If they're just doing, let's say, like, for example, I'm doing this podcast.
Right. And in general, there is sort of a method to our madness. We've got four, at least when it comes to microphones, we've got four basic stepping stone product lines. At the entry level is PG, which used to stand for performance gear when we first conceived of it. And those are microphones that, fulfill a lot of different roles, vocals, instrument, drums, and so forth, but at an affordable price point. Then you step up to the SM series, which is sort of the original classic Shure models like the SM57 and SM58. Again, lots of different variations for lots of different applications. Then you move up to the Beta series, which has better performance at a slightly higher price point, and also starts offering some very specific niche microphones, like something that's designed to mount on the bell of a saxophone or on the rim of a snare drum or something on that order. Mm. And then at the very top is the KSM series, which is sort of our top-of-the-line premier microphones for recording use and also for live performance. And those are typically condenser mics and ribbon microphones when you get to that point.
And then I saw recently, like, I mean, I know you have, like, your Microfix line for, like boardrooms and things like that. And I saw recently, and I'm not sure how long this has been available for, like, the classic style mics, where they're very iconic and reminds me of, like, the old Singer mics they have on stage before the look
right.
We all know now.
Right. The classic is the 55 Unidyne series, which, and here's probably a good point to just click back one step and do a little bit of Shure history.
Okay.
So Shure was founded in 1925 by Mr. Shure, and originally started out as a catalog company selling all kinds of different devices, but eventually settling on parts to build your own radio, because this is back at the time when you couldn't buy a factory-built radio. If you wanted to listen to radio, you had to build one yourself. So he was selling parts for that, and then factory-built radios became common, so there wasn't really much of a market for parts anymore. And Mr. Shure was a huge fan of radio and broadcasting and thought, how can I sort of be affiliated with this broadcasting industry? And he thought one way would be to sell microphones. So he started selling microphones, and after a couple of years, started developing his own microphone. And shortly after that, in the 1930s, Shure developed the very first unidirectional microphone. So up until that point, if you wanted to make a directional microphone, you had to basically combine an omnidirectional mic and a bidirectional mic in the same housing, which was big and clunky and not very efficient. And Shure figured out a way to develop a single mic transducer that had a directional pickup pattern. And we called that the Unidyne, for unidirectional dynamic. And that was the one that a lot of people think of when they see people like, oh, I don't know, Rudy Valley and Doris Day and people of the very early years, you know, the big sort of steel birdcage kind of microphone. That was the original 55.
And now you've brought back with the classic series the Super 55, is that correct? Or it's that same iconic look, but it's
exactly.
A bit
updated. In the 30s, we had the 55. Then in 1951, we made it smaller. Believe it or not, it was thought to be smaller at that time. And that was the 55S. And that model has been in almost continuous production since the 50s and is still available today as the 55SH Series 2. And then a couple of years ago, we decided, hey, you know what? Let's make a higher performance version of this product. And we came out with the Super 55, which is the same classic 55 housing, but it's got a high output super cardioid dynamic transducer in it. So you get better sound, better gain before feedback on stage.
Nice. I was looking at your guys' Instagram. I follow you guys there. And it's where I originally saw your Super 55, but I think I saw like a limited edition Super 55, whereas the Super 55 has like the blue felt on the inside, or the blue fabric, and that one was like red on the inside.
Right. Yeah, there was a limited edition black version with red foam called the 55 Super 55 BCS or something like that. I can't remember, but that one was a limited edition that was only out for a couple of years, I think, just through Guitar Center stores.
Yeah, I saw that it was very, very limited run, and I was like, wow, that looks awesome. I don't know why I picked up on the all black versus like the metal. Just the black with the red just made it pop or something, but I still really dig that classic look.
Yeah, it is very cool, and for a lot of people, if you do a Google search for classic microphone or vintage microphone, and then click on images, you'll basically see hundreds of different photos of that mic, illustrations, drawings, people have had it tattooed on their arm. I mean, you'll basically see that microphone image in 1,001 different forms. It's just sort of the iconic classic microphone image.
Right. And you said that's one of the first microphone styles that you guys have made, Mr. Shure made in the beginning?
Yeah, well, that he did a few other ones first because he started out with crystal microphones and so forth in the very beginning, and it wasn't until the 30s that he got into the sort of larger format broadcast microphones. But that was the first sort of real microphone that really put us on the map, and was a gigantic seller. I mean, that was the first microphone that actually gave you some degree of freedom from feedback, which in PA systems was just a chronic problem. And that was the one that made everybody think, oh my gosh, finally I can turn it up louder without getting so much feedback and noise. So it was used in auditoriums and broadcast studios and all types of places.
See. Well, like you had mentioned before, Shure makes over 100 microphones, and I'm sure they have at least one that's going to fit your application and price budget. So you can check them out at Shure.com, and if you're specifically in the Americas, just /Americas will get you to that section. Otherwise, for the rest of the world listening, just Shure.com and choose your location, and you will be able to find all the microphones we are discussing today. In regards to, let's say, personal audio, because that's semi-new for sure, correct? With the headphone lines, the in-ear monitors, and the over-ear monitor headphones, that's only in the last few years, or is that longer than that?
Yeah, it actually goes back a little longer, but it didn't really become a mainstream thing until, I don't know, the last 10 years or so. So in the, I think it was like the early to mid 90s, we started developing a system called PSM for personal stereo monitoring. And the idea was, instead of being on stage and listening to monitor speakers on the floor with all the feedback problems that you have with those, you'd put earphones in your ear and then wear this little wireless pack on your belt, this little wireless receiver that let you hear your monitor mix directly. Now, one of the key problems with that was that you really needed really outstanding earphones to deliver the sound quality and the sonic clarity that a performer needed far more than an average consumer listener on a Walkman or something like that. So we started developing earphones for that, and at some point we said, people are really getting into MP3 players now, and there's this product called an iPod, and maybe there's a market for high fidelity, high quality earphones. And believe it or not, in the very beginning, a lot of people said, wait, you're going to charge me $150 for earphones? Are you insane? And we said, no, really, here, try this. And people would try it, and their jaw would drop, and they'd say, oh my God, I've never heard anything like this. And so we started developing earphones specifically for consumer listening, beyond what we were doing for the stage monitoring. And so now we've got a whole bunch of models, and we just introduced a new one called the SE846 that is actually a four-driver earphone that just sounds unbelievable.
And they are sound isolating, is that correct?
Yeah, all our earphones are sound isolating, and we should probably throw in a little technology lesson here. So a lot of
Sure.
people are familiar with noise canceling headphones or noise canceling earphones, and those all use electronics to electronically cancel out background noise. And it works pretty well up to a point. It really doesn't work very well on low frequency noise, but on mid and high frequencies, it works quite well. The problem is that any electronic circuitry can add a certain amount of digital processing artifacts into your music. And it requires a battery and it adds some bulk and so forth. And we thought, there's got to be a better way. And certainly stage musicians wouldn't tolerate any of that. So we went a different way and just said, well, instead of trying to process out the noise, what if we just keep it from getting into your ear passively? So we came up with this design of earphones that use these little squishy sleeves made of basically earplug foam that conform to your ear and block out all the ambient noise from getting into your ear, and also provide a really good custom fit because they mold to the shape of your ear canal. So it blocks out all the background noise so you can hear it perfectly. You don't need to turn the volume up real loud if you don't want to. and it fits like a glove. And there's no digital processing, there's no battery, it's super compact, works like a charm. And it's really a great solution. So all of our earphones are sound isolating, as we call them, and they all have that custom fit and that passive noise blocking to keep out all the background noise. So you can be sitting on an airplane, somebody right next to you can talk to you. You won't even know it if they don't tap you on the shoulder. You don't hear a crying baby. You don't hear anything. And you can hear the dialogue of a movie. You don't have to turn it up real loud. If you're listening to music on the subway, you can hear it clear as a bell. It's really a great solution.
Or if you just want to ignore somebody, put the headphones in, don't even attach them, and just start walking around. And like when someone asks you a question, say, earphones, I can't hear you.
Yeah, exactly. It's like wearing earplugs, really.
Now, with these headphones, I noticed you guys, they're all, well, that's not the word I'm looking for. Do you think that Shure will eventually get into like the custom fit in-ear monitors for, whether, you know, for musicians or onstage people, or just kind of stick with that foam or the material there that kind of just passively blocks out the ambient sound?
We've stuck with what we call a universal fit solution, where you get these sleeves and they come in a few different sizes and a few different styles in the package. You can find the one that fits your ear the best and feels the most comfortable to you. But we do work with a third-party company called Sensaphonics here in Chicago. And so if somebody wants a custom molded sleeve, they can certainly get it. It's no problem. It does offer a slightly better fit for people, especially if they have an ear that's maybe a little bigger or a little smaller or slightly different shape. Everybody's ear is different. So for some people, the custom fit sleeve is really the solution. For others, it really doesn't make a whole lot of difference. But with our earphones, you've got the freedom of going either way. Typically, the people that decide to invest in a custom sleeve are people who are wearing these things for a few hours every single night, you know, as the part of a performance.
Yeah. And it looks like you have a couple options with your headphones, as several manufacturers do, I believe. It looks like you have a silicone option and a foam option. And you said that they come in probably, I would say, a few different sizes, so that way you can pick and choose from either what looks to be the silicone ear tips or the foam, squishy foam ones. Is that correct?
Right. Yep. The gray silicone sleeves come in small, medium, and large. The black foam ones come in small, medium, and large also. And then with some of our models, there's also another option that looks like a little white silicone Christmas tree, sort of, which we call the triple flange.
Oh.
And I have to say, that is one that people have a love-hate relationship with.
Really?
It's a longer sleeve, so it penetrates a little deeper into the ear.
Yeah.
Some people love it and say that is the only sleeve they will wear. And other people say, I don't like it. I hate it. Get it out of there. So, you know, it's there. If you love it, great. If you don't use it. But, you know, our goal is to have something for everybody.
And that's a sleeve that comes with all the headphones as well.
With most of them. I believe it comes with the top maybe two or three models include the triple flange sleeve. You can buy a packet of them as an option for any of them. But because they all use the same nozzle diameter, so, you know, the same sleeves fit all the models.
And for the most part, it looks like all your in-ear monitors, at least, have removable cables. So let's say the cables get damaged, you can get a new set and put them on to the drivers.
Right. Just about all of our models now use this removable cable design, where the cable actually can unplug from the body of the earphone itself. And that way you can actually replace the cable if, you know, you ever need to, because we've learned through years of service and warranty that, you know, the place that fails on earphones is not the earphone, it's the cable.
And typically, smashed or something, yeah.
Yep. It's within the first 3 inches of the end, whether it's the end where it attaches to the earphone or the end where it plugs into the music player. But typically the ends of the cable are the most vulnerable. So that's where, you know, the fault usually lies. So we went with this, you know, detachable cable design, and it really works well. And the hidden benefit also, though, is the connector swivels,
yeah,
which is is not immediately apparent when you look at it, but when you put this thing in your ear, as you move your head around, the cable is moving slightly, you know, along with your body, mm-hmm. and the swiveling connection there prevents the cable movement from putting any leverage on the earphone and pulling it out of your ear. So it really is surprisingly even more comfortable and better fitting. I didn't think it would make that much of a difference, but it really does.
That's something always that bothered me with other brands. Like, let's say you just go in the store and you buy, you know, a little $20 headset for your iPod or whatever. They don't do that. And, you know, most people put them down their shirt or into their pocket. And then, you know, as that, you know, through your day or within the first couple of minutes, you look up or to the left and the cable then, like, pulls on your ear, wants to rip out of there. But with that, and, you know, as you turn left and right, it would kind of move a little bit and give you a little bit more freedom to kind of move around and not want to yank right out of your ear.
Right. Yep. It makes a big difference.
Yeah. What about some of your on-ear monitors or over-the-ear, I would say?
Yeah, and then you mean like the headphones, the full-size headphones? Yeah.
Correct,
I mean, and, you know, I'll confess something here. I've been at Shure for a long time, and for many years I heard people say, why doesn't Shure make headphones? And I always thought, you know, there are more than enough companies making headphones in this world. You know, we don't need to be making headphones on top of everything else we do. And believe it or not, I got proven wrong because when we started coming out with headphones a few years ago, you know, they sound great, they feel great, they're really a great price, and they took off like wildfire beyond everybody's expectations here. And it's been tremendously successful. So we started out with three models, and now we've added a few more. So we've got, you know, closed back earphones, open back earphones, and we're still working on new ones as we speak.
Yeah, it looks like you have a new model, an SRH-1540, which is a premium closed back headphone.
Yeah, that sounds really great.
Are those ear cups removable, like the pads? Do they, you know, say like over time, eventually they wear down and you want to get something new, fresh, cushy on your ears or your head?
Yep, the pads are replaceable. So, in fact, on the more expensive models, you even get a second set of pads included, I think. And again, most of those models have replaceable cables so that you can, you know, buy a different cable if the cable fails. In some cases, there's both a coiled cable and a straight cable because some people have a real preference depending on, you know, how they're using it. But they sound great. They're comfortable. And for the money, it's really hard to beat them. I've had a lot of people listen to those headphones and say, you know, I can't believe that you're selling these for this price because they sound like they should cost $100 or $200 or $300 more.
And that you're talking about the new ones, correct?
Well, actually, they've said that about the 840s when those first came out, and the 440s and the 1540s, people have been saying the same thing. So, you know, most people say, you know, this could easily be a $600 or $700 pair of headphones, but it's not.
Interesting. And then how long, because I haven't had any experience with Shure headphones. My experience would be phono cartridges and microphones. How long have headphones been in the Shure family product line?
Let's see. Wired headphones, I think, have been out for about 3 or 4 years now since we came out with the 240, the 440, and the 840s. Those were the first three models.
Okay. And is there any one that you particularly lean towards more for what you do or just...
Well, I like the 840. That's been one of my favorites because it has a fairly warm sound. You know, it's got a pretty rich low end sound. I use a pair of headphones for just recreational listening. So that's the kind of sound I like.
Okay.
If you're doing mixing or you know, editing or something, and you're looking for a little bit more of a flatter sound, then you might like the 940s, which have a little bit more of a balanced, flatter sound. The 440s are great as a, you know, just like a tracking headphone for people who are, you know, just doing voiceovers and things like that, or, you know, video production, something on that order.
Yeah. And then I see you have a couple DJ-oriented headphones that swivel in the cup, so that way when they take them off, they don't end up breaking. You have the SRH-750 DJ and the SRH-550 DJ. It looks like you have one model and one up, a little better quality on the audio there.
Yep. So those are kind of aimed at DJs. You can fold them. You can wear just a single ear cup at a time if you want to. And, you know, the power handling capability is real high because a lot of people plug those directly into a mixing board that's got a really strong headphone amp coming out of it. So they need to handle a little bit more power.
Before we go any further, I'd like to thank my sponsors one more time because they keep the lights on here in this undisclosed California location. And that would be Hypersign, if you're doing digital signage, which I admittedly in the past said that I have not been doing, which I will be doing soon, so take a listen from me. You should be getting into digital signage. There's a huge market for that, and Hypersign.com will be able to help you out with all those solutions. And for everything else, we are integrating to speakers, racks, amps, and such. Atlas Sound provides that at AtlasSound.com. Now, I had mentioned that my background and experience for, I don't know, the last 10, 15 years with Shure had been microphones, and it was the SM58s and the 48s for microphones, and that was for, you know, recording and then musicians and such. But beyond that, it was like the phono cartridges, and for me, for turntables, you guys actually have quite a bit of phono cartridges, and the ones that I use more often than not, there was, well, hands down, it was always the M447s, which is more of a turntable-list style cartridge. It's very rugged and takes a lot of abuse, I would say, and I think it was designed for that.
Yep, that was designed to be a heavy-duty DJ cartridge, yep.
Yeah, and then the alternative, when I wasn't doing that, but that, like I said, that was my go-to cartridge, and I've gone through a bunch of those and have a whole bunch in my garage right now, tied up to some turntables, would be the Shure White Label, which is a newer-ish, I would say, style phono cartridges for just DJ recording needle. It's very sleek and elegant, I would say, in comparison to the big bulky square that everyone's used to, but that was my alternate when I wasn't just gonna like be down on some records, which kind of makes me cry on the inside when you think about vinyl. and then for slightly better, just like audiophile style, I would say the M97Es.
The XE. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's our only remaining real audiophile phono cartridge, you know, since the V15 series was discontinued many years ago. But so it's mostly we're selling phono cartridges to DJs and people who are record collectors who are, you know, collecting old jazz recordings or 78s or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know if they even make 78s anymore, honestly. I know that you can still find them if you're out there in the world, but I don't know if they still press them.
I don't think anybody has pressed 78s in a long time, but, you know, I was told once by a record collector that there are certain things that you can only find, you know, certain performances that are only available on a 78 that was, you know, pressed back in the 40s or something like that. So, you know, we used to have a wide variety of stylus tips. You know, you could get elliptical, you could get spherical, you could get spherical with a really wide diameter to fit wider grooves. So there was a lot of variation in all those styli, depending on the application and what kind of turntable you had and so forth. But over the years, it's gradually dwindled down to sort of the remaining line that we've got today.
Yeah. Now, I was asked, and I didn't know that this even existed, but someone had asked me to ask you guys with the M447 from the DJ world. They asked if you still make, or if they're even available. There was a golden M447. Do you know anything about that?
No, a gold M447? I haven't heard of that.
Yeah.
And I thought I've heard of everything here. I know there were a bunch of different styluses for the M44 series. So there's M447. I think there was like an M44G.
Yeah,
and
there's the G.
You know, a bunch of different variations, but I don't know that I've ever heard of a gold one.
Yeah.
Is he talking about a gold colored one or?
He didn't say. He just said golden M447. So I don't know if it was painted gold, or maybe the stylus was gold itself, or
Yeah, I don't know. Typically, all of the cartridges, other than the white label model, all of the cartridges typically had a black body, and then the what was that part called? The little plastic part above the stylus was called the stylus grip, and that's the part that you basically grab when you're inserting or removing the stylus. And those were made in dozens, if not hundreds, of different colors to denote different variations. And for a long time, we were selling phono cartridges to turntable manufacturers and hi-fi manufacturers. Sometimes a big hi-fi dealer would even have their very own model. So there were like 1,001 different colors and variations of those things. So there may very well have been like a gold-colored one at one time.
That's
But
possible. I remember when I was younger, I would go down to my local hi-fi shop, and they were the only place around close to where I live in the North Bay that that sold Shure needles or a few of the stylus or styli to replace some of the cartridges. And they had a few different ones. And at the time, like I said, I was really into turntablism and stuff. And the M447s were my go-to. So every time I would break one, I would either go down to San Francisco, which is an hour south of me, or I found out the local hi-fi shop, and they had the replacements, and they just had that in a little package. But he one day sold me that replacement for the M447, and it was a different color than it normally was. And I was like, well, wait a minute, I know that that's how they denote which ones are for which. And I was kind of off put. I was like, I don't think that that actually belongs with this, this cartridge. And
right.
so it was just one of those days. I'm like, I don't know if you just sold me some knockoff brand, or I'm kind of, I'm not sure what to think about that.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah,
Could be.
but the gold one, I'll have to ask about that. I'd never heard of that either, so I just thought maybe you would know something more than I would.
Nope. There were several different gold microphones made over the years, usually as gifts for performers. There were like gold 565s and even some gold-plated 55s that were done here and there. So I've seen a few of those, but never a gold phono cartridge.
Now you also told me that you're using are you using a Shure's USB mic today, or are you using someone else's like Logitech mic?
I'm using a Countryman head-worn mic right now, which is one of those little wire-thin ear-worn microphones, which I love because it's so lightweight. And Shure sells those to use with our wireless systems. And that's running into a little inline preamp that goes with our headsets and lavalier mics. And that plugs into the X2U XLR to USB adapter and into my laptop. So the and my earphones also plug into that adapter, so I'm not hearing any delay or anything like that, and I can blend, control the blend of your voice and my voice, so I can hear exactly the ratio that I want to hear
And is
and
that all
control the volume.
controlled from the adapter that you were telling me about earlier?
Yep, it's got three little rotary volume controls on it. One's for the actual mic gain, so it's got an actual analog mic gain knob. Then it's got a volume control for the earphones. And then what's called a monitor control, which is what controls the blend. So if I wanted to, like record myself playing guitar, let's say, and then turn around and play back the guitar track and then sing over the track, if I listened to the earphone output on the computer, I'd get a delay caused by the processing and the USB circuitry and so forth. So I wouldn't be able to sing along with myself. But by monitoring before that actually goes into the computer and gets converted to digital, I'm monitoring myself with no latency at all. So, if I were singing along with a guitar track now, I wouldn't have any problem.
Very cool. You said your experience, I think, are more or a lot more is with wireless audio and wireless stuff for mic from Shure, correct?
Yeah, wireless is a huge part of Shure's business nowadays, and it just keeps growing. So it's a big part of our business.
Are there any like products like for like that you use more than others, or like would recommend for other people that are doing like staging stuff, for like musicians, or if they're giving presentations and they have the little side clip, and They have like the mic like you have right now, a little wireless pack.
Right. Yep. Well, there's a bunch of them. We've got several different wireless lines, but the one that's most popular for like installed and meetings and AV use is the new ULXD digital system, which is a real nice premium digital wireless system. You know, comes with, you know, a whole bunch of different mic heads on the handhelds, and you can get it with lavaliers, head-worn mics, and whatever for body packs. But the real cool thing is that the receiver has all kinds of great features in it. Sound quality is stupendous. Plus, it the transmitters run on rechargeable batteries if you want. So you can run on one set of batteries for, you know, more than enough to get through a show. And then just pop them back in the charger and you're good to go the next time. So you can stop buying batteries if you want to. And the receiver even has, on some of the models, a Dante digital audio networking output. And that's one of the trends that we're seeing is the growth of digital audio networking. So we're starting to integrate that into some of our products.
And what, repeat that again. It's a Dante?
Yeah, it's a. There's several different standards for digital audio networking. One of the ones that has emerged as one of the most popular is called Dante, D-A-N-T-E. Mm-hmm. So basically, this allows you to run more than 1,000 channels of full bandwidth, uncompressed audio on a single Ethernet cable.
Oh, cool.
So, for instance, we did a wireless demo last summer here at Shure and hooked up 100 of these ULXD wireless systems in a couple of racks, and the receivers are all tied together just with little short Ethernet cables, daisy chaining from one to the next, and then one Ethernet cable ran from the rack across the room to a digital mixing console. So instead of a 100 channel snake, we had one Ethernet cable running 100 channels of audio, and it's perfect. It's crystal clear, it sounds great, it's fast to set up. You can configure it remotely over a network. It's really the wave of the future. So I think you'll see a lot more Shure products with Dante networking included.
Very cool. Hey, are you guys at the Consumer Electronics Show in Vegas right now?
We don't have a booth. We're not exhibiting at CES this year, but a few of our people were actually out there at a press event just a couple of nights ago doing earphone demos. So if anybody was at CES and went to some of the press events, they might have met some of our people and seen some of our new earphones and headphones.
Do you, so is CES not something that that Shure typically goes to or has a booth at?
Not so much in the past few years. We did CES for a few years, and you know, it just wasn't a real profitable show for us,
right?
Simply because there's so much attention at CES on, you know, digital TV and 3D television and and other kinds of breakthrough technologies like that, that it's really hard to cut through the clutter and get any attention there when you're selling something like earphones and headphones. And, you know, for us, there are many other trade shows that we need to participate in for the music industry or installed sound and things like that. So we typically do a more focused approach at CES and visit directly with some key journalists and do the press events where we're going to meet those people.
So can you tell me what shows that, like, say, some of our integrators might find you at? Would you guys go to, like, Infocom or something or...?
Yeah, if you're in the installed sound industry, we're definitely at Infocom every year. If you're in the music industry, NAMM is one of our biggest shows.
Yeah.
We typically also go to AES in the fall, which you know oscillates between New York and San Francisco. I think we also do WFX, which is Worship Facilities Expo. So we try to cover all the bases. The biggest markets for sure tend to be the music industry, whether it's live or recording, the broadcast industry, so we're also at NAB, National Association of Broadcasters, and then just this sort of listening and monitoring market. And in fact, we haven't really touched on broadcast products at all, but you know, we used to think of this thing called broadcast, and now it's sort of rapidly being supplanted by digital video production for online video. And a lot of your listeners are probably involved in some kind of video production, whether it's YouTube or corporate video or something like that. And we've got microphones and wireless systems specifically for video production now too. So if people are looking for a camera mount microphone or a microphone with built-in recording or a wireless system that mounts on your camera for DSLR, we've got all of that stuff too.
Yeah, let's go over a little bit of that. I was going off of the website and I did see a section for that and I didn't even cross my mind to think about that.
Yeah, the latest and greatest thing is this new VP83 lens hopper microphone, which is sort of like a mini shotgun mic that mounts on top of your camera. Mm-hmm. And then you can either record by piping the audio into the camera and record on the camera if you want to. Or there's another version that has a built-in flash recorder and records on a little memory card. So if you're not happy with the audio circuitry in your camera, and you'd rather have a WAV file recorded separately that you can edit later, then the other VP83F has that feature built in.
Go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say, just having a short shotgun mic on the camera improves your sound so much because you're not picking up the sound of the autofocus mechanism or the zoom on the lens or anything like that, which can be pretty intrusive in some cases.
Is that an omnidirectional mic?
No, it's a mini shotgun, so it's like a supercardioid. So it's a very directional pickup pattern, so it focuses on where you're aiming the camera, which is logical. You don't really want to pick up too much of what's going on next to you or beside you.
And then, so the VP83 and the VP83F for flash, those are the two newest ones to that line, correct?
Right, mm-hmm. And then probably a year before we came out with that, we came out with a couple of wireless systems specifically for video use. There was an FP wireless system and a UR wireless system, both with portable receivers that fit on top of the camera. So, you know, if you're in a situation where you'd rather mic the talent directly, let's say, like put a lavalier on a presenter, mm-hmm. And have them wear a wireless body pack transmitter, you know, we've certainly got lots of systems that have a rack mount receiver or a tabletop receiver, but ideally for video, you want the receiver mounted on the camera so you can be mobile. So both those systems come with a little battery-operated pack receiver that fits on top of the accessory shoe on the camera and then plugs into the camera so you can record that way.
Are there any areas of Shure that we haven't really covered yet that you think might be more appealing to the AV industry?
Let's see. Well, wireless is a real big thing, as we mentioned, as far mm-hmm. as products go. There's also a lot of regulatory things in the hopper that have been changing for the last few years and are continuing to change, which anybody who does AV installation or rentals for events should be aware of. And the easiest way to sum it up is that all wireless microphones have to operate in some kind of spectrum. And for many years, most of them operated in the TV band, in and among TV channels. So, you know, in one place there might be, you know, say 5 or 6 or 10 empty TV channels that weren't assigned to TV stations. And that's where your wireless microphones would be tuned. But over the last several years, the FCC has been trying to recover some of that unused spectrum and use it for expanded cell phone carrier traffic for wireless data. So the amount of spectrum available for wireless microphones has gradually been shrinking, and it'll probably shrink some more in another year or so because there's going to be another auction of TV band spectrum. And at that point, it'll become even a little bit more challenging to use wireless mics. So we've been trying to tell people, you know, you need to kind of stay aware of these things, kind of stay up to date on how things are changing. Because, you know, in some cases, the product that you have, you know, might become obsolete, not because there's a problem with it, but just because it's operating in a portion of the spectrum that's no longer available for wireless microphone use.
Just kind of skipping around here a little bit, I was thinking something I like to cover sometimes is gaming. With the headphones, I wasn't really sure, but do you guys have like a set of headphones with a built-in mic for like gamers and such, or is that something that you don't think Shure would get into?
Well, we do have headsets with built-in microphones. Most of them are aimed not so much at gaming, but at AV production, like for camera operators and technical directors, and applications like that, where you might want a good pair of headphones, either with a single ear cup or a double ear cup, and a good boom microphone on it. I don't know if it would be easy to interface it with a gaming console or not, but you might be able to do it.
Yeah, I would have to see if I can get my hands on one and mess around with that. Is there anything else you'd like to note before we kind of start wrapping things up here?
No, a couple of things. I guess, if anybody's doing podcasting as you're doing, we've got, in addition to the X2U adapter, we've got two really nice all-in-one USB microphones, the PG27 and the PG42. So definitely check those out if you're looking for a more desk-mounted condenser microphone for podcasting. And the other thing is that, Shure has this summer internship program for college students. So if any of your listeners are juniors or seniors in college and are interested in the music business, I would urge them to check out shure.com/get-the-gig, where you can find out more about this artist relations intern program that we've got available, because it's really a fascinating position, and it's a competition to get the gig. So I think the deadline for it is at the end of January. So they've still got a little bit of time to start getting in the running for it.
That's pretty cool. And is that something you guys do every year?
Yeah, we've been doing it for about the last, I think, 2 or 3 years now, and it's worked out really well.
Cool. And then whoever gets the gig, do you guys like do like a video story along with that, or does that go on the blog? Or?
Yep, absolutely. The intern does some blogging. They also do a couple of video clips, updating people on what they're doing, and at the end of the year, what their experience was. And if you go to that site, to that page, you can see the video from last year's intern, Brooke Giddens, who just did a terrific job, and find out more about everything she did and how she liked it and so forth. So this is an exciting place to work. And one of the best things about it is that pretty much everybody who works here is somehow involved in what we do, what our customers do. So there are people here who are musicians, singers, guitar players, drummers, violin players, keyboard players. But not only that, there are people who do audio at theaters, who do audio at their church or synagogue or whatever. People who write music, who produce videos and edit. So there's people here that have all kinds of talents, and I'm always amazed at the real diversity of audio talent that is inside this building. So it's a really exciting place to work, full of passionate people.
That's very cool. I like that. It sounds like you guys are all kind of like connected in some sort of way in the industry in some sort.
Yeah, it really is interesting that so many people here are so so talented. We just had our annual holiday program a few weeks ago and had, 7 or 8 different employee musical groups perform. And it ranged from bluegrass Christmas music to rock and roll Christmas music to a Broadway theater type of vocal performance. We had a spoken word performance. We had, ethnic Russian Christmas dancing. It's just all over the map. So there's really a lot of interesting people here. And, I'm not a musician, and I often feel like I am one of the few people here who is not singing or playing, because everybody here seems to play or do something.
That's very cool. So, as I always like to note, social interaction. If you guys are on the internet, like most people are connected these days, you can check out Shure on multiple channels, which is nice. Some companies don't do anything, and I believe it's important to get the message out there, and there's multiple ways of doing it. With Shure, you can find them on Facebook at facebook.com/ShureINC. They're also on Google Plus. I believe the G Plus is just, their verified account is Shure. There's no special name beyond it. On Twitter, it's twitter.com/ShureInc or at ShureInc. Their YouTube channel is youtube.com/ShureInc. Most of their channels are Shure Inc., except when you get to LinkedIn, It's linkedin.com/company/sure-incorporated. And then Instagram for all the fun photos. You can see their stuff there. Double click, like their stuff. It is also at Sure Inc. And now, if you're going to want to follow Chris, my guest of the evening, I believe it's at it's at Chris underscore at underscore at Sure, correct?
Right. Yep. Right. Chris at Sure.
Chris at Sure. Chris underscore at underscore Sure. There we go.
Right.
And if anyone has any questions for Chris directly, what's the best way for someone to reach out to you?
Oh, probably Twitter is the easiest way. I think my email and contact information is on the Twitter page there. And if they've got technical questions, we've got a staff with more than 100 years of cumulative experience advising people on which mic to use and solving problems and so forth. So definitely check out our system support group or our tech support group. And we're, you know, it's just a really accessible company. It's one of the few companies I know of where you can call us up and you can get a live person on the phone who actually knows what you're talking about. If you're a guitar player, you can talk to a guitar player when you're ordering or when you're asking your question. And a lot of companies don't bother to do that. So we try to really understand exactly what our customers are doing with products. But we love to get that one out of left field where we say, wait, you're doing what? Because those are the ones that always turn into something really interesting. But
that's cool. Unless you have something really cool that you haven't announced yet and you want to share with us, I think that's going to be in the show. So hopefully you have some really cool inside information about some new products coming up.
Well, as our company line is that we don't announce anything before it's actually ready to be introduced. So I can't give you specifics, but I can tell you that in the coming year, we've got wired microphones being introduced. We've got new wireless products being introduced. We've got all kinds of stuff for all kinds of different markets. If there's one thing that amazes me, it's that the pace of Shure's product development is running at full throttle, and there are so many new things being developed simultaneously that it's just staggering how fast new things are coming out. So if you're a Shure fan, you know, check the website regularly or you know, monitor our Facebook page or whatever, because there's just so much incredible stuff going on. It's crazy. And if you want to learn more, we have a series of webinars, free webinars. So if you're interested in, you know, learning about wireless or learning about musical instrument miking or whatever, there's been a whole series of webinars, and there will continue to be more, where you can, you know, get online and post questions and so forth during the webinar and listen to recordings later and so forth too. So if somebody's just getting into the business and trying to learn more about the technology, that's a great way to do it.
Where can we find those webinars?
I believe you go to sure.com/webinars, and let me just double check that. There's a lot of little backdoor gateways at Sure, so if you do it, no, it's not webinar. Let's see, tools, support, technical training. I think it's sure.com/training might be the back door. Yeah, that's the one that gets you to it. And if you scroll down, you'll see, let's see, over on the right there, you'll see webinar archives. And you can sign up for webinars. You can watch the archived ones. But we tend to do some that are sort of about a specific new product. And then we'll do some that are about general audio, where we're not trying to sell anything. We're just teaching you what's the difference between a dynamic and a condenser, or what, how do you know which polar pattern you should select for a certain job. So we, you know, do a lot that are sort of just general background audio training.
That's cool. So if you guys are getting in the industry or want to know a little bit more about what you're about to buy or just not sure, go to sure.com/training. And there seems to be a whole archive of videos for that specific scenario, or multiple scenarios, I would say. Well, Chris, I think that's going to wrap it up. I greatly appreciate you taking the time tonight. I know you are several hours ahead of me. And I will have this up online soon, and thank everyone at Shure for me and all of us AV insiders out there for your time and knowledge. I know that is a great thing to share with someone, and you've shared it with us, and we thank you for that.
Well, no problem. My pleasure being here. And if there's one thing I've learned in these years here at Shure, it's that, you know, this company has really succeeded and thrived because of the great people who use its products and who sell its products. And we couldn't have done it without all the dealers and musicians and, you know, sound technicians out there who have been just using our stuff and telling us what they do all these years, because that's where the ideas come from, and that's why the products are so great.
Well, continue to keep making those great products, and I will tune into all the social channels I'd mentioned earlier and the website, Shure.com, to find out the products that you can't share with me just yet, but I know they're coming. And thank you again for taking the time. Well, hopefully I'll have you back soon, maybe when some of those new products come out, and we can discuss a few things more.
That sounds great. Thanks so much, Johnny.
All right. Have a good evening, and we'll talk to you soon.